helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. The Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." But what happens when we refuse to put away our childish things? When my daughter was small, she held childish ideas. She thought that money just appeared out of nowhere, that whatever she wanted was true, and well, she tried getting her way by throwing temper tantrums. As her parent, part of my job was to teach her to put away such childish things. But what happens when children are not taught to grow up and put away their childish things? Just take a look around. We have adults, many of them in positions of power and influence, who act like money just appears out of nowhere. That something is true just because they say so, and that the proper response to not getting their way is a full-blown temper tantrum. In short, America has more and more leaders and influencers who act like children rather than adults. If we continue to follow their lead, that is exactly what America will become: a nation of spoiled brats. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Yes, part of the reason we do that is so we can put away some childish things, childish notions, so that not only we can live free, but others can live free as well. And not just others, not, you know, family members and friends, but our entire nation. So that everyone who lives here has the opportunity to live free. But that only works if we actually act like adults. If we continue to act like spoiled brats we have been, well, then it's not likely that we're ever going to put away these childish things. Now, a recent example just kind of was the icing on the cake of proving my point. I talked yesterday about the expulsion of three Tennessee legislators who helped encourage and foment a riot on the floor in the well of the House of the Tennessee legislature. Now, all three of them lost their committee seats, but two of them were expelled. The House voted to expel them following the rules and regulations and the Constitution of the state of Tennessee. And I made the point, as many people pointing out, they were complaining that removing them was undemocratic, when what they were doing, what these three activists did, was undemocratic. They were disrupting, not simply disrupting the legislature, they were preventing the other representatives from speaking their points. They did not allow the people that the other legislators represented were not allowed a voice. This was not a peaceful demonstration. This was a disruptive demonstration. In fact, if this had been held on the streets of Nashville, it could easily be referred to as a disturbing the peace. So they were expelled. And there was a lot of lies spread about what actually happened and how it actually happened. I covered all that yesterday. But then my heart broke. Part of me is now ashamed. I live in the Nashville area. And part of me is now ashamed to say that I live in the Nashville area. Now, I want to make very, very clear. Nashville itself is a very progressive city. The surrounding area is much less so. In fact, a couple times I've had people contact me. They say they want to move to Tennessee. They wanted some advice. I said, don't go to Nashville. And in fact, I would not move into a county that abuts Nashville. They're better, but they're still pretty, fairly progressive. You get beyond that, and I think some level of sanity returns. And here's the proof. Now, Nashville resides in Davidson County. Now, according to Article 2, Section 15 of the Constitution of the State of Tennessee, talking about when there are when the seat of any member of either house becomes vacant, the vacancy shall be filled as follows. And here are the rules. When 12 months or more remain prior to the next general election for legislators, a successor shall be elected by the qualified voters of the district representative, and such successor shall serve the remainder of the original term. The election shall be held within such time as provided by law. But here's where things get interesting. The legislative body of the replaced legislator's county of residence at the time of his or her election may elect an interim successor to serve until the election. Now, one of the representatives that was expelled, I believe a Mr. Jones is his name, he was a resident, yes, Justin Jones, he is a resident of Metro Nashville. So the Nashville's Metro Council voted to reinstate him, to have him serve as the interim representative during the until they could have the election to replace him. I want you to stop and think about that. They voted. Oh, by the way, they didn't just vote for him. They voted unanimously. Every member of the Nashville Metro City Council voted to appoint. A lot of it says reinstate him. It's not reinstating him. They are appointing him to serve as an interim representative until the next election. That's what the Constitution of Tennessee says. What does that say about the city of Nashville? Either they have their heads buried so far in their backsides, they can't see anything, or they truly are anarchists and Democrats. And I don't mean Democrats in this from simply that they are members of the Democratic Party. Thomas Jefferson once said, "Democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49." I disagree with them on the standpoint of 51%. Because here you have three members of the House of Representatives of the state of Tennessee that have taken away the rights of the remaining, I believe it comes out to like 94. I think there are like 97 members of the House of Tennessee. Three have taken away the rights. And 36 members of Nashville's Metro City Council have said, we agree with this. We agree with the taking away of the rights of 90 plus representatives, the people of the districts they represent, because we want to get our way. This, ladies and gentlemen, is not just a temper tantrum. This is a child being rewarded for their temper tantrum. Mr. Jones disrupted the legislative process. He didn't ask a question. He wasn't recognized. He didn't even simply interrupt someone when they're speaking. This gentleman picked up a bullhorn and encouraged those who were disrupting the process. And for that, he's being rewarded. If you know, this was a child in school who picked up a bullhorn and disrupted the class, and he was expelled from school, and the parents basically come in and saying, you can't expel my child for being a disruption in class. Well, that's wrong. And the school capitulated. Now, it's not a perfect analogy, but that's what Metro Nashville did. They said, we want mob rule. They didn't use those words, but that's effectively what they've called for. We want mob rule. If we don't get our way, we don't mind having a bit of a riot. We don't mind people storming into the Capitol and demonstrating in the well of the on the floor of the House. We don't mind that. In fact, we encourage that. Mr. Jones was quoted on CNN as saying, "Today we're sending a resounding message that democracy would not be killed in the comfort of silence." Well, you've sent a resounding message that democracy, that mob rule, will not be killed in Metro Nashville. And for me, this is to the shame, ladies and gentlemen, of every person who lives in Metro Nashville. Even if you disagree with, even if you didn't vote for this gentleman, because as a whole, the people of Metro Nashville are promoting mob rule. They are rewarding a temper tantrum. They are rewarding this childish activity. Now, what is being reported to the rest of the nation? Oh, look at this. The rewards of democracy. And you have CBS Evening News parroting the line that last week, mostly white Republicans in the Tennessee House flexed their supermajority. They expelled two young black lawmakers for mocking House decorum with a bullhorn and bravado. No, sir. No, sir. They weren't mocking House decorum. They were disorderly. This was disorderly conduct on the floor. This was a disruption of the Republican process. This was a denial of representation to those who disagreed with him. This, well, maybe not a full insurrection. It certainly was a bit of a coup. If we don't get what we want, we will simply stop the legislative process. But you see, that's not being reported to the rest of the nation. The rest of the nation think there's something weird going on, that the Republicans took a look at a couple of black representatives and kicked them out. When what happened was these black, and they happen to be black. I don't care if they're black, white, purple, green. If you go to the floor of the House with a bullhorn and you encourage and entice and excite verbal demonstrations, disrupting the process, then you have done wrong. And Metro Nashville has said, we like the fact that you don't. We're going to reward you for your bad behavior. What happens when the next hot button issue comes to fore? This happened to be about gun laws. Ignore all the facts. Ignore the mental issues of the person who committed the mass murder in Nashville. Let's take this opportunity to steal people's guns from people who have committed no crimes. Nope. You can't shut us up. Now, listen, if you live in the Metro Nashville area, what have you got to say to your city council? That's what I want to know. We're the people in Nashville going before the city council going, how dare you condone such bad behavior? Because I'm pretty sure if people were to show up to a Metro Nashville meeting with bullhorns and simply shout the council members down, police would take them away and charge them with a crime. What's the difference? Oh, the difference is you have a black Democratic politician. And in Nashville, apparently, that's what matters. Not the law, not your oath to the Constitution of the state of Tennessee in the United States. No. It's the promotion of your representative because he's black and he's Democratic. I wonder if Mr. Jones was white, would they have voted this way? We'll never know. Can't prove a counterfactual. What it tells me is that Nashville, the Metro Nashville Council, is effectively voted for mob rule. And if you live in Davidson County, which Nashville is incorporated, God help you. Because all you've done is shown, if you want to get your way, just throw yourself a good old-fashioned temper tantrum right on the floor of some legislative body, and you should get away with it. You should be rewarded for it. You should be honored on national TV for acting like a child, throwing down a temper tantrum, like you're not getting the cereal you want in the grocery aisle. Nashville is now proven to be run by children, spoiled brats, who think it's okay if they don't get their way to simply yell and scream and call people names. And of course, there are more examples of this. This isn't an isolated situation. The expulsion is, but the use of such a childish temper tantrum to get your way is not unique to Nashville, nor to the Nashville Metro Council. But before I get to that, I have to take a break. I'm hoping you'll check out my website, constitutionstudy.com. That's where everything Constitution Study kind of focuses around. You can ask a question. You can have me answer it on the radio if you like. You can join one of the mailing lists. You can donate to the cause. You can find articles, videos, lots of resources. One I'm working on, I'm tentatively calling Constitution Patriots, and I'm working on some more announcements so people know a bit more of what I'm trying to put together. But it's designed to help educate us to deal with this type of nonsense. How do you deal with the childish behavior of not just these legislators, but others? Now, the other place I'd like you to check out is Healthy Cell. They are a leading innovator of supplements designed to work at the cellular level. They've got a lot of great products. I use many of them. One is their Immune Super Boost. Especially when I'm on the road or if I've done something where I think I may have a little bit of a compromised immune system, I might have driven it down a little bit, I grab a packet of Immune Super Boost. It combines over a dozen immune supplements in a single, easy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. It's designed to support my immune system when it needs it the most. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So do me a favor. Go to HealthyCell.com. Look at all of their products, the Immune Super Boost, all of them. Put your cart together. Then when you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. Today, we're looking at the future of America, and it's to be filled with a bunch of spoiled brats. Yes, I spent the first segment talking about the Tennessee legislator who was expelled for his demonstration, his participation in a riot, not a peaceful demonstration, not a peaceful assembly, a disruptive riot on the floor in the well of the House of the legislature of the state of Tennessee, for which he was expelled, not simply because he shouted, but because he grabbed a bullhorn to encourage this. Yet the representatives of the people of the city of Nashville said, we want you to serve. Now, again, they often say he was reinstated. He was not reinstated. He was returned as an interim representative until the next general election, as required by the Tennessee Constitution. But that certainly is not the only example of childish actions, childish ideas, and temper tantrums. Do you remember this clip from yesterday?
It's just me. I'm good. I'm fine.
By the way, I had to edit that for content. I had to edit out language that just is completely inappropriate. This was a riot. This is a violent demonstration. They were loud, but they were also pretty violent. They were threatening the swimmer, Riley Gaines. She was there to give a speech. She was there to talk at an event, and this was the childish temper tantrum reaction, including calling her names. You heard when they said, Riley, come out. That's because security had to barricade her in a room because of this violent mob, this rowdy mob. So what do you think? This, by the way, happened at San Francisco State University. Now, what do you think was the response of this university to the actions of their students? Would they be called to account for a non-peaceful assembly, for a violent demonstration, for the denying of the right to freedom of speech and freedom of expression, for threatening those with a views that opposed to them, the very, you know, the core principles of freedom and liberty? No. San Francisco State University issued a statement. Now, let me read it to you. Dear SF State community, today, San Francisco State finds itself again at the center of a national discussion regarding freedom of speech and expression. Let me begin by saying clearly, the trans community is welcome and belongs at San Francisco State University. Further, our community fiercely believes in unity, connection, care, and compassion, and we value different ideas, even when they are not our own. SF State is regularly noted as one of the most diverse campuses in the United States. This is what makes us Gators, and this is what makes us great. Diversity promotes critical discussion, new understandings, and enriches the academic experience, but we also find ourselves exposed to divergent views and even views we find personally abhorrent. These encounters have sometimes led to discord, anger, and confrontation and fear. We must meet this moment and unite with a shared value of learning. So far sounds pretty good, huh? I continue. Thank you to our students who participated peacefully in Thursday evening's event. It took tremendous bravery to stand in a challenging space. I am proud of the moments where we listened and asked insightful questions. I'm also proud of the moments when our students demonstrated the value of free speech and the right to protest peacefully. These issues do not go away, and these values are very much at our core. Excuse me, time out. I played you the audio. Was that a peaceful protest? Was that simply a demonstrating a value of free speech? No, that was an attempt to shut down the speech they didn't like. But yet the SF said, "Oh no, that was great. That was fine. That was just a peaceful protest." It reminds me of during the riots, the reporter out front saying, "No, mostly peaceful protest," while the building is burning behind them. I'm sorry, do we play this, you know, right to protest peacefully in front of the shouts and the name-calling and the threats to Ms. Riley? Back to the statement. This feels difficult because it is difficult. As you reflect, process, and begin to heal, please remember that there are people, resources, and services available and ready to receive our Gator community, including faculty, staff member, coaches, and mentors who are here to support you. Campus resources are also available. Equity and community inclusion, counseling and psychological services, Dean of Students Office. The well-being of the SF State campus community remains our priority. Sincerely, Jamalia Moore, Doctor of Education, I think is what that means, Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management. Where's the apology to Ms. Riley? Not here. Where's the acknowledgement of the riots that took place, of the attempt to shout down an opposition, to threaten a person, to force her to barricade under security to be protected from this mob? Gone. Doesn't exist. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a child in San Francisco State University, or if you're there yourself, you had better hope that they don't turn against this crowd somewhere. Because the university has just said, listen, if you hear something you don't like, you can shout it down, you can riot, and we are going to give you counseling for the bad feelings you have from it. This is how you breed spoiled brats. That's right. That entire crowd was a group of spoiled brats throwing a temper tantrum. We have somebody here that we don't want to hear. And what was so objectionable about Ms. Gaines' statement? What was she saying that was just so awful? Our need to protect women in sports. Our need to protect them from physical and psychological harm, from being forced to compete against men that have a biological advantage, or to expose them to sexual assault by having them change and shower in front of men. That, ladies and gentlemen, was the trigger for this temper tantrum. And yes, it was nothing more. You'd call it a riot. It was a temper tantrum. It was a bunch of spoiled brats that said, if we're not going to get our way, we are just going to throw down. You invited her. We didn't want this. So we're going to throw down. And if you get on our way, we'll get you. And don't look for again, in this case, San Francisco State University. But how many other college campuses does this type of nonsense happen? It's all over the country. And not only did San Francisco State University condone, but they encouraged those who committed disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, threats of assault, and denial of rights under color of mob. The school encouraged this. The Stanford sided with the men and women who were attacking this woman's rights and her person. Again, she claims that a man struck her twice. But the school isn't, where's the school doing something? That's assault, ladies and gentlemen. That is a crime. Where is the school encouraging the brats? You know, and the school talks a good talk, right? They say that diversity promotes critical discussions. Yet you're not allowed to have a diversity of ideas here. And you're not allowed to have a critical discussion. And the school is just fine for that. And they'll make sure all those people who might have been hurt by having to list, by possibly hearing what Ms. Gaines had to say, had resources to get help. What about the police? Well, according to Ms. Gaines, the police admitted that they did not feel comfortable asserting themselves in a way that would make them seem as if they were in a position where they could be accused of racism or transphobia. Oh, so the police were not willing to actually do something to stop the riot because they were afraid they were going to be called names. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't name-calling a classic tactic of a child, a brat? A bully? That's what we have here. We have overgrown children acting as spoiled brats and bullies, and not only are they getting away with it, they're being promoted. And we wonder why this world is such a mess. How many decades has this sort of nonsense been going on? You know, back in the 1960s, when demonstrations went too far, they were shut down. Starting somewhere in the 80s or 90s, they decided, no, we're not going to shut them down. We're just going to pull the police back and let them get it out of their system. You've just encouraged the children. You've encouraged the brats. You've encouraged the bullies to bully. Now, it's reported that Ms. Gaines is planning on suing the school. Now, I'm not sure what she's planning on suing them for. I'd be interested to talk to her about it and see what ideas she has, but... I think it's appropriate for her to sue the school. I think it's also appropriate for her to sue the police that refused to enforce the law. Now, I know courts have already recognized that the police do not have a duty to protect you. But here you have law enforcement admitting that they would not enforce the law. Why were they not arresting the more violent demonstrators? Well, they were afraid of being called racist or transphobic. How about they get sued as well? You know, it was Vladimir Lenin that said, "Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world." We've got multiple generations of youth, and look at what it's turned into. Look at what this education, that the education system has turned our children into. You know, when people talk about socialism and communism, they forget Lenin, Marxism, Leninism. This, by the way, is exactly what you expect in that type of society. Another quote from Lenin: "It is, of course, much easier to shout, abuse, and howl than to attempt to relate, to explain." Isn't that exactly what these students were doing? They were shouting, they were abusing, they were howling because they either couldn't or wouldn't be bothered to actually listen, argue, discuss, debate. No. They would much rather simply shout down their opponents. This is what happens. This is what a country of spoiled brats looks like, where freedom of speech and of the press is only allowed to those who toe the line of the largest crowd. One more quote from Lenin: "Why should freedom of speech and freedom of press be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes to be right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons. Ideas are much more fatal things than guns. Why should any man be allowed to buy a printing press and disseminate pernicious opinions calculated to embarrass the government?" Take the word government out of there, and what do you replace it with? The mob? Why should the mob, which is doing what it believes to be right, allow itself to be criticized? Why should the university? Why should someone be allowed to buy a printing press and disseminate pernicious opinion calculated to embarrass the university? Ladies and gentlemen, do you not see what I saw from San Francisco State University? I did not merely see a riot. I saw the destruction of freedom and liberty in America. I saw America changing from the land of the free to the land of the mob, where your freedoms can simply be extinguished if you can excite a mob against them, where your life can be threatened, where your physical welfare can be threatened because you express an idea that people don't want to hear. You know, to me, the ironic thing is that these very same children that are destroying freedom of speech are claiming to be supporting freedom of speech. Is that not the definition of a useful idiot? Because what happens if one day they decide to express an idea that is counter to the mob? Will they be chased through the hallways? Will they be shouted down? Will they be threatened? Will they be deplatformed? Will they be canceled? Because they express an idea that someday is inconvenient to whatever ruling oligarch happens to have the ability to rile up a crowd. They are literally creating the situation for their own destruction. And they have convinced themselves that they're right, because they are childish. They think as a child. They understand as a child. They speak as a child, because they are not growing up to put away such childish things. And as more and more of these brat temper tantrum children assume positions of not only influence, but power, What does that mean for America's future? What does a land of the free look like when people like that are writing legislation or enforcing laws or deciding cases in a court? What does it look like? It's certainly not the land of the free. And it will happen because we're no longer the home of the brave. People brave enough to stand up to the bullies, to stand up to the temper tantrums, to stand up to the children. People unwilling to stand up and say, no, we will not accept this. You will not be allowed in a position of authority or power or influence as long as you act like a child, a spoiled brat, a little kid throwing a temper tantrum. Now, I have to take another break, but I want to remind you, the Constitution Study is only one of several voices heard here on America Out Loud. Do like I do. Make AmericaOutLoud.com a daily stop for the latest news and goings-on. But it's more important than ever to take this information like this. I've been talking to people across the country, and I'm shocked by how few people are aware of what's been going on in Nashville and in San Francisco State University and elsewhere. We fix that by sharing. You take the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, and you share them. Share them with friends, share them with family, especially when you've got videos that can be used as proof. See, if we want to be the land of the free, if we want our liberties, if we want to enjoy our blessings of liberty, then we have to do something. And that starts with education, followed by sharing that information as far and as wide as you can.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at the children running the asylum, the spoiled brats that we have trained. We've trained them in our in our government systems, in our education systems. You talked about Nashville and the fact that the city of Nashville, their metro council, has decided to reward the bad behavior of one of their state representatives. We talked about the San Francisco State University that had a riot to avoid hearing the simple message of we should be protecting women in sports. And instead of calling out the bad behavior, the criminal behavior, the disturbing the peace, the disorderly conduct of their students, they offered them assistance and never once apologized to the young woman, I call her a young woman, who was there to speak. They claimed to promote diversity and freedom of speech while promoting those who suppress diversity and freedom of speech. And at the end of that, I asked a question. What would happen when these spoiled brats, these spoiled little kids with their temper tantrums and their mob rule, what happens if they were to start getting into positions of power? Well, we have an example here. It's called Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She was interviewed on CNN in response to an opinion, a decision by a federal court that the FDA did not follow the law when it authorized mifepristone. The Mifeprifex is the actual drug that they used, that the FDA did not follow the law. The law created, by the way, by Congress. So here is the opinion of one current Congresswoman, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez.
Should that apply if the Supreme Court upholds the Texas judge's decision?
You know, I think one of the things that we need to examine is the grounds of that ruling. But I do not believe that the courts have the authority to have the authority over the FDA that they just asserted. And I do believe that it creates a crisis.
When I was a child, I understood it as a child. Well, here you have a grown child. See, I've actually written an article. I went into the details of the opinion of the decision, how they got there. And it is quite simple. The FDA broke the law. The FDA did not have the legal authority to use the accelerated approval process. That is a law created by Congress. The FDA did not go through the proper testing of this drug, either safety or efficacy. That is the law. They broke the law, and the court said, you broke the law. But you see, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, she likes killing babies. And anything that stops killing babies to her is a crisis.
Should the Supreme Court do that, it would essentially institute a national abortion ban.
Wait, what is this? How does saying the FDA did not follow the law when it approved a drug suddenly become a national abortion ban?
Because you have an extraordinary amount of states who have implemented surgical bans or bans after very early time periods. And then if you pair that with a mifepristone ban, mm-hmm. then we will essentially have a ban on abortion. There are certain workarounds, I will admit, there would be certain workarounds, but we would have taken a very significant step towards a national abortion ban.
What's my go-to line when dealing with Ms. Ocasio-Cortez? Better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. She just said it doesn't ban abortions. Yes, there's still surgical abortions. Okay, there are several states that have restricted the time frame, but that also means there are a bunch of states that have actually expanded the time frame. No, this is a child going, I didn't get my way, and I got to come up with some fake, ridiculous argument to make it seem like I'm on the right side, when I don't really know what the heck I'm talking about.
And I would urge the Supreme Court, in its lawlessness that they are exhibiting right now already, their extraordinary conflict of interest, I mean, my hope would be that we do not get to that point.
And again, the ends justify the means. When the Supreme Court was opining the way she wanted, they were great and you had to follow them. But all of a sudden, we'll just call them names. We'll say they're lawless. They're conflict of interest. They're not following the law. Especially when you look at opinions like Dobbs, they actually followed the law. But I got to get this last clip, and I'm going to try not to laugh, but you got to hear this one.
But once, if we do, I do believe that we must start to push back on our system of checks and balances, which is designed to push back on should there be an example of judicial tyranny and judicial overreach.
I'm sorry. How do you say that with a straight face? The Congress, one branch of government, passed a law that said the FDA can only use accelerated approval. By the way, they created the FDA, which they don't have the legal authority to do, so the FDA doesn't legally exist. But put that aside for a second. They said the only times you can use your accelerated approval process is if it's to deal with a life-threatening disease, a life-threatening issue. Pregnancy is not generally a life-threatening issue, is it? No. So the FDA, and part of the executive branch, broke the law. The legislative branch created the law. The executive branch broke the law. The judicial branch looked at both sides and said, nope, the legislature was correct. The executive was wrong. They broke the law. Therefore, what they did is now void. You can't do this anymore. And to her, that is a lack of checks and balances. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of checks and balances. It's why we have a judicial system, so that when there's a difference between the legislative and the executive, somebody could look and make a decision. Now, the problem is, in my mind, she doesn't like the outcome. She already admitted she hasn't even looked at the basis for this opinion, for this decision. She hasn't even looked at it yet, but she's already decided that, nope, it's got to be wrong. It's got to be criminal. They're trying to get rid of abortions because I don't like the outcome. She's a spoiled brat. And what is her recommended solution to this? Like any spoiled brat, it's ignore the law and just make it up on your own. Now, understand, the president is a branch of, is the executive, is a branch of government. The court can issue an opinion. They have no way to enforce it against the president. But here you have Ms. Ocasio-Cortez saying, you should just ignore that order because we don't like the outcome. It's the definition of spoiled brat. I don't care what the rules are. I want my outcome. I want to get what I want, and I will use any tools and any means to get it. Now, of course, AOC is not alone. We've seen the abuse of that the FBI has committed against the American people. They've been swatting pro-life activists for, you know, bumping into somebody outside of an abortion clinic. We've seen them raid a former president's home while ignoring the active president's own similar malfeasance, actually probably worse. And we've seen them label everybody from parents at school board meetings to people who the Southern Poverty Law Center doesn't like as violent extremists. Well, they've got a new scheme. See, according to a dossier found by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project, the FBI says that using terms like red-pilled, Chad, Stacy, or others are signs of online extremism and racism. Yeah, so much for freedom of speech. So if you use the word, I've got a list of these. So if you use the word based, which is to mean something that is agreeable or cool or considered to be anti-woke, according to the FBI, that means you've now got a racist ideology. Or if you use the term red-pilled, which comes from the movie The Matrix and is meant to someone who has uncovered hidden truths, but now according to the FBI, that means you're a racist, anti-Semitic, or a fascist. So now we have the FBI, which we already know has been snooping through the internet, collecting data without a warrant, without any just probable cause, in violation of the Fourth Amendment, now is going to flag terms the current administration doesn't like to label you as an extremist. Now, what I find absolutely interesting is you have people rioting violently in San Francisco. We had examples in 2020 of violent arson, assault. Those weren't violent extremists. But if you use the term red pilled, you're suddenly a violent extremist. Now, why do they do that? Well, I believe there's a couple reasons why. One reason they do that is they want to bootstrap a crime. So if they catch you in something, they can go through your social media history and say, oh, so you used the term red pill. That means you're a violent extremist, so we can bootstrap a bigger crime on that. But here's the other reason. They want you to stop using the terms. See, if they put a threatening, a threat attached to those terms, well, then maybe a lot of people will stop using them. Me? Red pilled. I don't believe that nonsense. Now, I wasn't red pilled because I saw the movie The Matrix. No, I was red pilled because I actually read the Constitution. And I realized that the FBI has committed a federal crime. They are attempting to suppress freedom of speech and freedom of the press under color of regulation and custom. There is no investigative tool to this. This is the pure exercise of power. This is what you get when you have a bunch of children who believe that they can shut up anything they don't like, and you put them in positions of power. Now listen, you may be an 80-year-old doddering idiot, but mentally, you're a child. That's what we've seen from so many in government, on both sides, by the way. But the question is, what do you do about it? The question is, this works when people follow the old politically correct model. Oh, we're not supposed to say red pill anymore, so you stop saying it. No, red pilled. Base. I've seen the truth. I've gone beyond I've gone behind the matrix. I've seen what's going on. I've seen the Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, it could save us. But not all of us will get out unscathed. For example, Douglas McKay, I'm sorry how I mispronounce it. He created a meme that was supposed to, lampoon the Democratic candidate in 2000, presidential candidate 2016, Hillary Clinton. And now for that, he has been charged with a crime. See, he made a meme that said, hey, vote for Hillary by text. But apparently that hit a little too close to home. I'd love to find, if somebody out there knows about him, similar memes that had some that actually targeted Trump. It'd be very interesting to see. Because the court claimed this was an attempt to defraud voters of the right to vote. And as opposed to just satire? I mean, what's next? Is the Babylon Bee going to be found guilty? Think about it. We have all encountered families where the children were allowed to run amok, where the parents refused to provide any discipline, where they were allowed to run around, shout, scream, destroy things, and they were never held accountable. And every one of us has thought in that point, going, oh, those parents. But now we're living in a country where those children have grown up and they are starting to make the rules and they're starting to express their power, their desire for a mob rule. And we have to live with the consequences. Now, I firmly believe that in the case of a parent, they have a right to raise their child as they see fit. But if when they turn that child loose in society, it is up to us to make sure we don't capitulate to their temper tantrums. That includes suing schools. That includes refusing to be silenced. That includes finding ways to defend yourself against the physical violence. And here's the thing I'm interested in. Again, I've reached out already to Ms. Gaines. I would love to interview her on the program. But how many is Ms. Gaines standing alone? How many people are coming alongside Ms. Gaines going, what happened to you was awful? It certainly is not San Francisco State University. Let's not let Ms. Gaines stand alone. Let us join hands and support her in her attempt to hold accountable the criminal activity, the disruptive activity of the students of San Francisco State University and of the university that not only allowed it, but encouraged it. Let's stand with those in Nashville that looked at their Metro Council and said, what are you doing? These men didn't simply interrupt somebody. Their representative got a bullhorn to help lead a riot in the well of the legislature, disrupted the state's business, did not allow the representatives of the other citizens of Tennessee to have a say. And this is not only are you upset that he got punished, you're willing to put him back. Not even to consider, you know, maybe this is not the way we do things. We're those in Nashville. Let me know. I will stand with you to go against such a corrupt city council. This is one of the reasons under Constitution Patriots, one of the pillars is going to be activation. How do we act? How do we come to the support of those in Nashville who say disorderly conduct is not to be condoned? Is not how we want to be represented. How do we do that? How do we come to the support of those who've had their rights destroyed by a mob and help them? Not just be there as a, here's another face, but I actually have ways to help them. That's part of what I'm working on here at the Constitution today with the Constitution Study Patriots, the activation concept. I'm hoping you'll head to the website, constitutionstudy.com, as I begin to publish some information to find out more, because unless we want this to become a nation of spoiled brats, we have to stand up. We have to do what is right, even though it may be scary. And if we do it alone, we're a target. If we do it together, we can make a change in this great nation. Now, hopefully you'll come back and join me every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, all my shows go to podcast, generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can find them on your favorite podcast app, but please subscribe to the show. Better yet, leave me a rating and review as well. It helps other people find the Constitution Study. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But if you don't want America to become the home of crying babies and mob rule, you need to share that information as far and wide as you can.